Number two, the Tennessee men's basketball team returns home to Thompson Bowling Arena for a Tuesday night bout with Ole Miss. Tip-off is set for 9 p.m. Eastern on the SEC Network. Tennessee is currently riding a four-game win streak against Ole Miss and have won each of the last two meetings inside the friendly confines of Thompson Bowling Arena. A win would give head coach Rick Barnes his 100th victory on Rocky Top and gives the Vols their 9th consecutive victory over teams from the state of Mississippi. According to the stats king, Billy Williford from 3 and Out, Ole Miss has only allowed 3 teams to shoot 40% or higher from deep.
So this is a game Tennessee should win. And hopefully a game that, you know, you're looking for not only the W, but you're looking for incremental improvement. You're looking for the turnovers that we've seen plague us continue to decrease. You're looking for that 5 to sometimes even 10-minute spell where we can't throw it in the ocean. You're looking to get rid of that, and we want to play a nice, you know, consistent game all the way through. And you're looking to continue to get Urosh, I think, involved and comfortable. It's his first game at home. Healthy round of applause for Urosh Plavšić when he checks into the game tonight. And
nice double-digit game from your point guard. Be nice.
Yeah, let's get out there and get this dub.
Number three, Rinai Davis's deep step-back three-pointer with 0.8 seconds remaining lifted number 23 Tennessee past Alabama 65-63 on Monday night in Thompson Bowling Arena. The junior forward's heroics helped the Lady Vols end a 5-game losing streak to the Crimson Tide and provided Kelly Harper her 300th career victory as a head coach. Up next, the Lady Vols step out of conference and play up at number three UConn on Thursday night at 7. Side note, freshman Jordan Horston was elected SEC Freshman of the Week.
How do we define success for the Lady Vols at UConn Thursday?
Keep it within 20 points.
Yeah, just go up there, battle, do what you can.
Really, this is where we're at? They'll come off of it. You want me to get back into them again? Get it back to where we aren't talking about us awesome. Having to keep it within 20 if you're of UConn.
Get back into it again. Are you pretending that at some point you were a big Lady Vol fan?
When they went up to Connecticut and slapped him around, sure.
Oh, so you're a fair weather Lady Vol fan.
Yeah, they don't have a commitment to winning, Russ. They haven't in a long time over there.
Can you name a player on the roster other than Rinaya Davis? You name another one?
Bridget.
I really like
to start
what
naming.
She's done, Kelly Harper. I mean, obviously, she's off to a good start, man. I was a little skeptical. When we first hired, it's like, oh man, like she got fired at NC State, you know. It feels like we're just passing over some other maybe more well qualified male candidates to hire a former player over there. But I like what I see so far, and you know, obviously she needs better players and she needs to get out there and recruit and continue to develop her squad. But man, it just feels like. When you flip the Lady Vols on, and this had gotten progressively worse over the course of the last 3 or 4 seasons, particularly last season, we didn't see the effort. Yeah. We didn't see the effort. We didn't see organization, and it was painful to watch. But we see that effort, and that's what I want to see Thursday is just, you know, even if it is a 20-point game in the second half, continuing to play just as hard in the fourth quarter as you were in the first. And if you do that, I won't say I'll be happy, but I'll be proud of the effort.
I think they're a reflection of their coach at this point. I mean, that's the way
she
played.
She's intense, man.
As a player, she was intense. Mm-hmm. Number four, Grant Williams got his first technical foul last night as he played against the Lakers. He nailed a 3-pointer in front of the Lakers bench, and as he's running down the court, he gives a thumbs up to Boogie Cousins, who was sitting on the bench, and got teed up for it.
Did Cousins say something to him or something? Like, they... Does Grant even know him? I mean,
he said something to him. But, I mean, isn't that typical Grant Williams? Yeah. He does something to get a technical, but it was a thumbs up with a smile on his face. And
Was it even trash talk? I mean, I watched it several times. Like, he couldn't believe they called the foul. Cousins couldn't believe they called the technical foul. And they're just laughing. And this stick-up-his-butt ref comes over and talks to her. Oh, you can't do that, blah, blah, blah. And everybody's just laughing at the guy's like, dude, like, chill. Like, just chill,
what
ref.
What Grant could have said? I beat your ass, Catan.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't even say anything.
I beat your hiney. He wouldn't say that, probably. He would just be very, like... But that's the most, like, if I could choose a way he would get technical, that would be it, by doing something like nice and kind. The dude raises his hand anytime he does something wrong on the court to tell the ref that he did something wrong.
Yeah.
I love Grant Williams.
Hate to see it.
He never had a technical at Tennessee, right? I mean, that would be shocking. It's just
no.
Even a hanging on the rim, like nothing.
He's the guy that if he wasn't on our team, we would all despise and loathe him. If he wasn't on our team, just because
so.
the antics that he did, you know, getting all the charges and the hook and hold stuff,
and he was
we would have hated Admiral
getting all the charges. Oh yeah, you would have really hated.
We would have hated the whole team last year. Let's be honest. If they all were Florida, it would have been. But they were ours. They're ours. That's it for the top four at four.
All right, good stuff. Thank you, John. That is the top four at four. It's brought to you by our friends at Knoxville Smiles. Life is better with great teeth. So many people letting their dental health slide these days, not wanting to smile in public, even staying in, usually just out of fear. If this sounds like you, if you've been putting off a dental checkup, then I want you to do yourself a big favor and schedule a free consultation with our friends at Knoxville Smiles. Dr. Steve Malone and company out there doing a great job. Been practicing dentistry here in Knoxville for a long time, and what they do is provide a comfortable experience, especially for folks who haven't been to the dentist in a while. Compassion and honesty, those are things you want from the dentist. Those are the things you're going to get from Dr. Steve Malone at Knoxville Smiles. Go online to KnoxvilleSmiles.com today. Schedule that free consultation. You're going to be so glad you did, because it's going to change your life. That's KnoxvilleSmiles.com. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show here this afternoon. Let's get Phil in here to start the hour. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on the drive.
What's
up, Philly?
How you, Brian? How you doing?
Doing well, man. How about you?
Hanging in there. I heard you trashed me real good yesterday after I hung up on you.
Well, you did a hit and run, Phil. I mean, you brought it on yourself.
Well, if I'd argued with you, you just cut me off. So that's the best way to do it.
He's got a point.
I mean, I let you get shots in, like you know.
I know how you. I know how you do things, don't you?
I'm not going to sit here and argue with you for 10 minutes, but you know, we'll have a back and forth, and when it runs its course, yeah, you get run. That's how it goes.
Well, all I know is I got 5 gold rings, and you have no gold rings.
Oh, what is it? Like, you haven't won a gold ring since Bill Clinton was in office, Phil. I mean, it's a Stone Ages. The internet wasn't even around.
All I know is y'all haven't done anything since you've been the Oilers. I mean, let's get real.
I mean, we've been to a Super Bowl since you guys have.
That's great.
We were in a conference championship game this
year. Cowboys got about 9 Super Bowls, and they won 5 of them. So, I mean, that's a lot more impressive than Oilers history.
We're counting the ones in the single handlebar face mask days.
You count Tennessee's national championships in the past? We haven't done nothing to football in 20 years.
No, that's true. But if I'm arguing with a Georgia fan, you know what I tell them? We've won one since you won one.
Well, yeah,
put that in your pipe and smoke it.
There is a parallel between Kirby and Mark Richt, though, isn't there?
I mean, I think it's more than a parallel. I mean, they're basically the same guy through the first 4 years of their careers.
Except Rick's a decent guy.
Yeah, that's a good point. I like Rick more than I do Kirby. I mean, Kirby's a...
Why is Kirby a bad guy?
Sleaze.
He's got Saban all over him.
Yeah, but I mean, so he's... I mean, anything in specific, or we just don't like his face looks?
I mean, to be honest.
It's
his face, yeah.
Okay.
The fact that he played football.
So we don't know if he's a bad guy. We just don't like him because we don't like him.
I
just remember Jamal run all over him, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that doesn't make him a bad guy. It just means Jamal
Lewis.
He
got run all over. I love it. Let's talk about recruiting a little bit. What about this wide receiver named, I can't even think of his name now, McConkey, that Tennessee just offered?
McConkey?
Out of Georgia.
First time hearing of it, Phil. You're dropping a new one on me. Phil, with some breaking news this afternoon.
Well, it's not breaking news, but according to the chatter on the Internet, the Pritch going to come and see him this week.
Georgia's
offered him.
Are you talking about a 2021 kid?
No, I'm talking about a 20 kid.
Huh. Ladd McConkey, three-star wide receiver out of Chatsworth, Georgia, undecided.
And his family are Tennessee fans.
Man, we must really want another wide receiver, huh?
Well, I guess he's the fallback if you don't get back with for Weidman, right?
Yeah, or the Caldwell kid out of South Carolina.
Well, Clemson's on that one. I don't think you can go up against Clemson for a receiver right now.
I mean, they might strike out on all the dudes that we thought they're, you know, the two wide receivers, the Weidman kid from Florida, Caldwell from South Carolina, obviously Jay Hardy we struck out on. And, man, I just don't have a good feeling about Beckwith going down to Florida for an official visit. So
yeah, you figure the ties that family's got to Tennessee, that Tennessee would have an advantage, but who knows? I mean,
sometimes you want to get away from family, not close to them.
Yeah.
Go down to that ugly looking place called Gainesville, Florida. It's not, you know, of course, it's a few miles from the coast there. I guess it might look a lot better if you got over there in Daytona or something.
I just have a hard time. And he looks like a fabulous prospect, man. When those pictures he posted of him in uniform, it's like, wow, that dude is put together. But I just, you know, he's going to Florida, and it's closer to his home. They've been much more successful than us the past couple of years. What am I being creepy?
Did you say Florida was closer to his home?
It is.
But Tennessee's got it's quite twice as close. Tennessee to go down there.
He's from Florence.
Oh, he's from Florence.
Yes.
Okay. I was complete. Yes, absolutely. It's cool. Well.
That's like 9-hour drive, isn't it?
Dude, it takes me 8 hours to get to Mobile. How's it going to?
The article I
you
read.
You can't tell me. Okay.
The article last, I think Hubs or somebody did an interview with him. He said that Florida is a 4-hour drive as opposed to 8 hours to Tennessee. That's what the kid said.
I thought it was the other way around. 4 hours.
Florence is near Troy, but. Okay, Florence, Alabama to Gainesville, Florida is 590 miles.
I'll tell you what I read.
590 miles. It probably takes him about 3 hours to get here from Florence.
Okay, maybe I had it mixed up.
No,
I apologize.
I'm not coming at you. I'm just
that's so. I was wrong. If you do go,
it's the first time for everything.
Go at
I was
him.
Surprised.
Just telling me, you know, repeat after me, Russ. You're a moron. Well, it's 12 hours away.
Florence to Knoxville, 282.
This offensive lineman that knows Holiday. So they've offered him.
The kid from
Mississippi.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
And then the running back y'all were talking about the first of the show. Is there an offensive lineman involved with that too?
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, I mean, is that one more research?
Is that one of those things where, you know, to get the 5-star, we're willing to take his best friend who, played 1 year of high school football? I mean, I'm not against it, especially we're striking out on all these other dudes.
We did it with Derek.
He's 360 pounds and he's 3-star in Texas. I mean, it can be awful because we got a couple guys already like that, don't we?
Yeah.
On the offensive line, Scroggins and the Robinson kid's a 3-star, right?
No, and, man, like, if you're going to take a guy just to take a guy, a 300-pound, like, 6'4", 300-pound offensive lineman, I mean, that there's something to be said for that, Phil. Got to get bigger. Got to win in the trenches.
But evidently, they do want at least one more receiver, though, is what it looks like to me. And then you got this Holden Willis they've offered for a preferred walk-on. You think there's anyone with a blue shirt or gray shirt in him?
Everything I've seen is no. And doesn't he have some nice, like, South Florida offers? And
Tulane's offered him.
Tulane, like.
J.J. McCluskey, I guess.
I don't know, man. Like, that's got to be tough for a kid. Like, if you grew up a Tennessee fan and it's your dream to play at Tennessee, but you're just not getting those SEC offers. And I'm sure Tennessee would love to have him as a preferred walk-on, but – you know, it's expensive to pay for school, especially when you've got a decent school like Tulane offering to pay your way. I mean, that's got to be a hard one. Please, Mom, Dad, will you help me go to Tennessee?
Yeah. One more thing. The key to tonight's game will be Jordan Bowden. Jordan Bowden historically plays well against Ole Miss. That's the one positive I have for this game tonight. about Jordan Bowden. He's usually lit Ole Miss up.
Well, he needs to break out of it, you know. I just wonder, though, does he shine a little bit more when there's less pressure? Like he, you know, when the Georgia game was decided, he had a couple of nice buckets. You know, the Vanderbilt game, it wasn't a very tight game necessarily, and gym's not full. It's not a marquee matchup. He played pretty well. I'm guessing tonight it's going to be not the best atmosphere Thompson Bowling's ever seen. What's going to happen when you go up there against Kansas on Saturday? And we need – we don't need 25-0. It'd be nice, but we need 12. We need 15. Like, yeah. You know, is he going to be able to do that, or is he going to disappear again? That's kind of where I'm at with Bowden.
Well, he's been like that all since he's been here. But historically, he has played well against Ole Miss. But, you know, hopefully the history will keep, you know, going on tonight. I mean, Ole Miss is Ole Miss. That's the reason we have a chance of winning.
Wheel in the sky.
I think it'll be both game, though.
Keep on turning. Absolutely. Thanks, Phil.
See you.
Appreciate it.
Pretty neat. Jeremy Pruitt's down in Mobile today with saying hello to Juwan and Darrell. Down there tonight.
Oh, okay.
At the Senior Bowl.
Senior Bowl going on.
Nice little picture. Jeremy just had a kid, too. So he's down there.
Yeah, they had the baby.
The baby happened. Yeah.
Did he name it Juwan?
Probably.
I'm going to guess his name's Jennings. Jennings Pruitt.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to Big Germ and the missus. Stay with us. The Drive continues right here on Fan Run Radio. Back with more right after this.
The Drive. Stop the Drive. You can only hope to contain it.
So I did totally butch that
it's critical.
The D Beckwith Florence thing. Tennessee's a lot closer. So I guess that's good. I'm still a little bit wary of Florida getting the last visit.
I mean, as you should. Yeah.
I want to see this kid in orange, though, man. I mean, like, have you guys seen these pictures? Look at that.
Dude. Oh, yeah.
I know we're on radio here. I mean, like, his arm, like, he can almost, like, scratch his knees standing up. Like, that's.
He's a large young man.
Is he going to play basketball and football? Is that what we're going for here? Because
they're going to, sure.
They'll tell him whatever he wants.
They're going to let him.
He's got a lot of hair, and he looks pretty formidable. I have a theory about guys who have like a lot of dreads when they play basketball. They're just better.
That had been my longstanding theory about cornerbacks.
It's been a lot of people's theory for a very long time.
Look at Eve. He's got the dread ponytail this year, and he's much better than he was last year. That's all I'm saying.
What position is Beckwith? I know like wide receiver, tight end. I'm looking at that dude and think, man, like maybe that's our pass rusher we've been looking, our edge rusher that we've been hoping for.
I don't know. Where did he play on defense in high school? Does it say? I'm guessing linebacker or safety.
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys who just kind of did everything. Florence, Alabama, that's not big time football classification down there, is it, Trey?
It's down around Muscle Shoals, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I mean, Florence is pretty big. I mean, not a big city-wise, I would say, but yeah, high school football is pretty hyped up down there. Pretty big.
We'll be
because of surrounding areas.
Chatting momentarily with Chad Withrow of 104.5 The Zone in Nashville, in Knoxville. Chad and his group today, brought their show to town today and had a chance to talk with a couple of UT dignitaries earlier today. So we'll get his thoughts on that as well as the Titans and what they need to do coming up here into their offseason. Speaking of my Titans, let's check in with Titans Bill. Titans Bill, you've had a good 48 hours or so to digest the disappointment of Sunday afternoon. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay. I went to a listener watch party sponsored by our good friend Mr. Basilio. And I'll tell you one thing, it was a big thrill to meet him in person for the first time.
Well, good, man. Obviously, you wish the team had done a little bit better, you know. We wanted to win the game, but you know what, Titans, Bill? It was a good year. We were at 2-4. We were at 2-4 thinking, man, our coach is a meathead. we're never going to win anything here. And by God, we played in the AFC Championship game. And, you know, the score wasn't very close at the end, but I guarantee you, those Chiefs fans, the old pucker factor was strong early in the second quarter when it was 17-7. We put a scare into them.
Yeah, I'll tell you. You looked at that ball game. I'll tell you, I was not one bit impressed with the Titans' defense. The defense looked like a pile of crap.
Whoa.
Have you seen this pile of crap?
But I mean, they had a tough task, Bill. Like.
They just could not stop Mahomes. They just let Mahomes run wild.
Especially
when he scored that touchdown to put him ahead.
That's some pretty bad tackling, Bill. That was bad tackling, no doubt about it.
I mean, pathetic tackling.
But Bill,
I'll tell you what. If Selma Hayek was quarterback in the Chiefs, she would have scored a touchdown on the Titans' defense.
I don't mean that as a sexist comment.
Jennifer Aniston was a...
Did I hear she's getting back together with Brad Pitt? Is that a thing that's happening?
Oh, they were at the...
Jennifer Aniston was a quarterback.
Would I get back together with Brad Pitt?
With Jennifer Aniston? Oh. Either one of them!
I wouldn't have left Brad Pitt in the first place.
Probably not.
He's America's sweetheart.
He did cheat on you, though.
Yeah, but he's Brad Pitt. I mean, look at me, Bear. I'm no catch.
I'd cheat on you with Brad Pitt.
You have to make it weird, Trey.
Yeah, that came out wrong. I'm sorry.
Bill, back to the Titans. I mean, the thing, you can't be that hard on him because 9 times out of 10, Patrick Mahomes is going to do that to anybody in the league. He's just that good.
Well, yeah, that's true, but I'm going to tell you something, Bear. He's not going to do it on San Francisco's defense.
San
Francisco's got a defense, buddy. And they'll find a way to stop him.
What is your priority as you look at free agency and the draft? Defensively, Titans, Bill, is it pass rusher? Secondary play, like what do you want to see the Titans get done this offseason?
Pass rusher. We need a couple of pass rushers.
Tell you what y'all need. Y'all need to upgrade at the DC position.
Well, first of all, like that's kind of ignorant. Dean Pease put together a really good defense, I think, this year, considering what he had to work with. And second of all, you're going to get your wish
on Sunday.
Second of all, you're going to get your wish because he retired. So we are getting a new defensive coordinator and a new secondary coach, Titans, Bill.
Yeah. So, it's going to be interesting what kind of offseason when it comes to the Titans. Who's going to stay and who's going to go? Are they going to let Tannehill go and re-sign Henry? Or can they afford to sign both of them?
I was reading earlier today, Titans, Bill, I think they're going to be able to get both of them because they're like $60 million under the projected cap. They can franchise one or the other and then give the other the big contract and still have plenty of money to go chase free agents and sign some of their other unrestricted guys. So I think we're going to be okay. Titans, Bill, we got to run to get our guest on here. Give me a parting thought, if you would.
Well, the one good thing, you know, there's always a silver lining to this. At least we lost in the AFC Championship game. If we would have lost in the Super Bowl, that would be a different. That would really be a disappointment. But at least it was in the AFC Championship game. Hmm. There's the silver lining, right there.
I had not thought about it like that.
Well, you know, Bill, I heard a wise man once say, "Second place is a first loser."
Well,
what does that make your team? Thank you, Titans, Bill. Appreciate it. Stay with us. Chad Withrow, 104.5 The Zone, coming up next right here on The Drive. Fan Run Radio, back with more. Stay with us.
The Drive. No other. This is The Drive.
All right, welcome back. The Drive continues here on Fan Run Radio. Russell, Bear, Trey cruise along with you on a Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. Pleased to be joined now by Chad Withrow, 104.5 The Zone in Nashville, who's actually in Knoxville this afternoon. Hello, Chad. How are you, sir?
Doing well, guys. I'm actually walking around downtown Knoxville right now as we speak in your city. So thrilled to be here.
Well, it is a beautiful day for doing that, if not a little bit chilly. But as long as you brought a nice jacket, you should be okay. What did you learn? I understand you guys got to do your show at Thompson Bowling earlier today?
Yes.
Did you get to talk to any UT dignitaries, rub elbows with any big wigs, learn anything interesting?
Yeah, no, we had a chance to talk to Philip Fulmer on the show today, Kelly Harper, Mike Schwartz, associate head men's basketball coach, Tom Hart from the SEC Network. We had a really good show. Kermit Davis, Ole Miss head coach, actually stopped by the arena and joined us as well. So it was great. A lot of fun. We, you know, as a flagship in Nashville, we kind of decided, hey, let's go do something around the basketball game, and this was planned a while back. So it was quite productive. Had a chance to talk to some good people, and Philip Fulmer, obviously, very excited about how the football season ended.
Oh, you guys get the quality access, man. What would UT's response be, Trey, if we said, hey, we'd like to broadcast from Thompson Bowling and talk to the football coach, the athletic director? And
they put us on the strip.
New phone, who dis? let's start with Coach Fulmer. What did, obviously, very excited about the way the season ended for Jeremy Pruitt and the Vols. Did you guys ask him about the Pruitt contract situation or anything like that? I know a lot of folks are wondering, you know, is Pruitt in line for a big raise and extension?
You know, we didn't get into that, but we talked a lot about the season, and he kind of broke it up into two parts and said, you know, I really look at it like two seasons, you know, the start of it and how bad it was, and then as the team kind of regrouped and started winning some close games, and he said he was obviously thrilled to see that part of it. We didn't even get into basketball, honestly, because we had about 12 minutes with him. And then he brought up Rick Barnes and the basketball program on his own in the end. I talked a little bit about Kelly Harper and why he hired her as well, but did not get into the contract situation.
Chad, when you kind of wrapping up football for Tennessee and them trying to, you know, they have a few spots remaining in this recruiting class. You're so hooked into high school recruiting right now. Your response to and your take on everything that happened with Jay Hardy in Chattanooga. I mean, you probably talked to a lot of folks. I'd just love to hear your opinion on this.
You know, Trey, it's just really weird to me. More than anything else, it's strange. I feel like Jay Hardy's probably gotten some bad advice at some point.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest part of it. You know, I hate to crush the kid.
Yeah.
But for him to, like, tweet, you know, reporters and people and say, oh, no, I didn't sign, but he had, and it's just very weird. And I'm always, this goes with anyone. You know, when you're from a state and you do weird things to the state institutions in recruiting, whether this happens in Georgia or Florida or whatever, almost like you're trying to disrespect that program, I just find it to be a very odd decision for someone offering you a scholarship. So I don't know what all went into it. I don't have any inside info, but I'd like to think that he probably just got some bad advice.
How would you think Tennessee's recruiting class is really lining up? We've got about two official weekends left for these guys to come in and them try to fill it out. How would you grade the overall, you know, recruiting cycle that this coaching staff has put together?
I think it's been a really good recruiting class. They've done very well in West Tennessee. In this class, I would like to selfishly see some better work done in the mid-state, yeah. But that wasn't the case this go-around. But I think when they get guys they really want in the mid-state, they're definitely going to go for that as well. But all in all, I'd say it's been very good. And, you know, it starts in state, and for Jeremy Pruitt, it kind of starts in Memphis as to where he wants to go get players. And from that perspective, it's been really good.
Looking at – okay, I want to switch go to the hardcore for a minute because Tennessee played in Nashville a few days ago, and Vanderbilt's streak of three-point shots, man, that was just horrendous for Vanderbilt fans, but it is what it is. But you look at this Rick Barnes team, man, it's kind of changed, three different times in the last month. Have you been able to get a good read on this basketball squad yet, or are we still trying to figure out how this season's going to go?
You know, the fact that they're 3-2 in conference, and I know that they haven't played a murderer's row yet, is really impressive. With just how bad offensively they are right now. I mean, let's face it, they had a really good second half at Vanderbilt. They gained 21-20 at halftime.
Yeah.
Tennessee went 6 minutes and 19 seconds in the first half without scoring a basket. It's still a very offensively challenged team, but defense, I know they're first in the SEC in scoring defense, first in field goal percentage defense. And I think Rick Barnes will figure some things out. You know, Santiago Viscovi starting to get a little bit better with the turnovers. You know, really a deadly three-point shot. They need that. Maybe getting a little bit better defensively. I think he'll figure out how to utilize him. And I think Josiah Jordan-James realizing he needs to be a little bit more aggressive. You know, Jordan Downs is not going to shoot this poorly all year. And he started to come out of that against Vanderbilt. So that's an encouraging sign. I think it's a team that's going to get better and better. And the problem, guys, is that this schedule is going to get tougher and tougher. So even when Tennessee may be playing at their best in February, look at who they're playing in February. Two games against Auburn, two games against Kentucky, two games against Arkansas, all in that last stretch. So that's when it's going to get really tough.
Got Chad Withrow, 104.5 The Zone in Nashville, joining us here this afternoon. Chad, let's focus our attention back to Nashville for just a second. Obviously, the Titans, the huge topic of conversation. What was the mood just like on the airwaves yesterday? Titans fans disappointed not to be going to the Super Bowl, but you have to just feel, I mean, after going starting 2-4 to be in the AFC Championship, there has to be a realization, I think, that, hey man, that was one hell of a season.
It was absolutely one hell of a season, and what a finish. I mean, and you kind of look at it, you know, I talked about Philip Fulmer finishing the two seasons for the Vols. How about the two seasons for the Titans? Pre-Ryan Tannehill, post-Ryan Tannehill, and the way that offense took off. And Derrick Henry was great, but Derrick Henry really got going once Tannehill was the quarterback. The offensive line gelled once Taylor Lewan was back from suspension. So I think Titans fans should be very encouraged. Look, I was up in Kansas City. Better team won. I mean, it's that simple. Sometimes in sports that happens, it's not a disappointment. The Titans didn't play badly in that game. Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs, are just too good, and that's too tough of a place to play. So I think the right team is headed to the Super Bowl, but the Titans and Titans fans out there need to be excited about the future, because if they're able to re-sign some of these key pieces, figure out what they're going to do at quarterback, we think it's going to be re-signing Tannehill, keep Derrick Henry in the mix, add a couple pieces here and there, this is a team that could do some damage for the next 2 or 3 years.
Do you think that is the priority? Can they get both Henry and Tannehill back in the fold without breaking the bank and making it impossible to sign anybody else?
They can. It's going to be tough. I mean, they're under the cap. They're going to be. But the key comes down to, a lot of times, it's the term of the contract. So, for instance, I think they'd love to get Tannehill for 3 years and not four. But Tannehill on the open market could probably get 4 years somewhere else. So little things like that are going to be key. But, no, I think they can definitely re-sign both if they decide they want to pay big money for both. But they can definitely do it.
Chad, this is not a topic anymore. I don't know how many calls you guys get every day. We don't get any calls about it. But the Preds, man, I got to experience some of the coolest things involving the Preds while I was living in Nashville. And now it seems like they have taken a step back when it comes to a franchise. Is there any kind of excitement going on? I mean,
it is a Trey. It's one of those things where you saw the excitement of 2017,
yeah,
and that run to the Stanley Cup final. I think what the Preds do in terms of marketing, in game, and all of that is terrific.
Absolutely,
it's also still hockey in Nashville, and it's very, very niche. It only gets very broad to sports fans when the Preds are very, very good. And this city has had the luxury of them being very, very good for a number of years now. And now that they're bad, it's very easy to turn off for fans. That's how I would describe it. They're having problems selling tickets now, and I knew this would happen the moment they weren't good. And that's life in big-time sports in most cities. I think Nashville's no different. While it's a much better hockey market, it's still a football town. So as long as the Preds aren't really competing and they're not very good, you'll see less and less fans show up at Bridgestone Arena.
Well, and that we had talked about, you know, the Titans when they first moved there and started out so well. There was that long string of sellouts at the Titan Stadium, and then things got not so good. And we heard stories about, well, the Titans are having trouble selling tickets this past season. I know there's a whole litany of, of reasons for that. But do you expect the Titans with, you know, a lot of folks jumping on the bandwagon the past couple of weeks, do you expect to see a better atmosphere around Nissan Stadium next season as long as the Titans keep things going on an upward trajectory?
You know something my co-host Jonathan Hutton told me today, and we're kind of half-joking about this, but I think it's true. If you want to guarantee sellouts for every home game next year at Nissan Stadium, go sign Tom Brady. That's a
good point.
Is that? I mean, we've seen a lot of speculation there. Do you see the Titans trying to go down that road?
I don't know. I think it's a very much a long shot that he would want to come and not possibly go to the West Coast or stay in New England. But I mean, he does have a great relationship with Mike Vrabel. They go to the Kentucky Derby together. They're buddies. I mean, if you saw them, you'd think they were best friends when he was in town at training camp when the Titans and Patriots practiced together. So it's certainly a chance, a very small one, but a chance. But no, I do think that ticket sales will be helped by this run for the Titans, but they still got a long way to go. I mean, just look at the Chiefs, for example. I mean, that stadium was all red when Kansas City came to town. So they're still battling those opposing fans taking over the stadium when they play some of the bigger fan bases.
Chad, last question for me, buddy. It's interesting because I am into soccer. I enjoy it. I enjoy watching and going. I went to a couple games, and they were first starting up in Nashville at First Tennessee Park. But is there any kind of excitement level for the MLS team? I know they revealed their kits the other day and had a big party downtown, but it's probably going to take, what, 6-7 years? This is not going to be like the Atlanta United where they're selling out their first ever game in Mercedes-Benz, right?
You know, I'm kind of interested in the opposite part of this. What does it look like in 6 or 7 years? Because I do think there's going to be some initial pop with this team, with the Nashville market and with soccer fans here,
right,
where people will be very interested to watch this team early on. And then when they build the stadium, people are going to want to go see the stadium also. They've done a great job in marketing the team. I like where they sent any of their season ticket holders could go on the bus ride and surprise their first overall pick at his house when they drafted him. It was pretty cool to see.
Oh, wow.
All the people coming through, yeah, it was really neat. But little things like that, they're getting creative with it. But, yeah, I mean, to establish a real culture in the city, it may take 5, 6, 7 years. But I kind of want to see 5, 6, 7 years from now if it's still a big thing in Nashville, because it'll be a thing once they start playing. But in terms of anticipation, you know, you just had the Titans go on a run to the AFC Championship game. That's really all that Nashville has cared about for the past month. So maybe now it starts to shift a little bit, especially where they can benefit where the Preds haven't been very good.
Well, we know Derek Mason will be the head coach in 6-7 years, so don't have to worry about anything on Vanderbilt's end.
Yeah, yeah, he'll probably get another contract extension.
It's,
I think he'll
Kirk
go 5
Ferentz deal, bud.
It'll warrant a contract extension.
He is Chad Withrow, 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. You can follow him on Twitter at Withrow Zone. Chad, thanks a lot, man. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
Guys, always fun. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, brother.
Chad Withrow making his presence felt this afternoon on The Drive. We'll take a quick break right here. We'll come back. Or your phone calls, 865-546-8200. It's Fan Run Radio. So we've got some sort of situation at Antonio Brown's house.
Yes.
We know anything about it other than there are a bunch of cops there.
The police are saying that he's a suspect in some kind of battery.
Domestic.
Yeah.
Probably is.
Got like choppers there and
his
a moving truck.
Who evicted. He accused her on, I guess, yesterday or maybe Sunday of trying to steal one of his Bentleys.
Things are going well for AB.
So.
He's going crazy.
You've got this guy and on the heels of the Delonte West disturbing video that came out yesterday. And, you know, I know AB is an unlikable guy. Nobody likes him. And if he's beating on women, obviously he's a bad guy and he's got issues and all that stuff. But he also seems like a guy who's off his meds. It's like it's not just a case of being a bad guy. He's got mental issues. Is that fair to say, or am I playing amateur psychologist?
No, I mean, he's got we're talking about
Antonio Brown.
Yeah. It's either he's got some kind of serious mental health issues, and I think it's probably, you have to factor in, kind of makes me wonder if he's got some CTE.
Mm. Hmm. Well, hopefully everybody's okay at Antonio Brown's house, but they've got – I mean, they're turning this into one of those – we were talking about that movie Nightcrawler before. I mean, you've got creepy news people surrounding the house and peering in and all this stuff. So I guess we'll see what's going – I mean, heck, I'm surprised he hasn't fired up his Periscope yet and broadcasting the situation for all to watch.
I didn't want to get off subject, but I figured out what Philly was talking about earlier with that
McConkey
kid, the 3-star wide receiver. Mm-hmm. He received an offer from Georgia last night. He just told a Chattanooga radio station 4 minutes ago that Vanderbilt offered 30 minutes ago and that Tennessee offensive coordinator Jim Chaney visited him this morning at his school.
Have we offered? This is a 2020 wide receiver.
He added that Tennessee OC Jim Chaney invited him to Knoxville for a visit this weekend.
I'm so paranoid after the Jay Hardy situation. My sick mind is wondering, did Georgia offer this guy late in the process so that we would offer and take him?
We could. He said he got...
Why is Georgia desperate for wide receivers here at the last hour? Like, don't they have a room full of 5-stars?
Said he got a Georgia offer last night. That's weird. That's weird timing. Just weird timing, because I'm wondering how much room they have to take.
Well, they got a commitment from Brock Vandegrift, the number one high school quarterback in the 2021 class earlier today. So
Chaney's down at this school in Chattanooga this morning.
I mean, we do need, like, receiver is a position of dire need coming into next season. That's probably the biggest question mark on our roster, wouldn't you say, given what we lose there and the inexperience that we're depending upon to replace it?
Wouldn't disagree with you.
We need.
I think Tennessee's trying to load up in a lot of spots right now. That's why this Zach Thomas thing.
It doesn't feel like. To me, we're kind of – I don't want to say we're grasping at straws or flailing around here, but it does kind of feel like we might be striking out on some of our – obviously, we missed on Jay Hardy. It sounds like we're out on Jakari Caldwell. Who knows whether the Weidman thing ever had any legs. He visited this weekend, but haven't heard anything there.
Could have just been for a
vacation. And D. Beckwith is getting set to take an official visit to Florida. Like, we could miss out on all those guys. We've offered the offensive lineman from Mississippi who's committed to Southern Miss, and now this wide receiver out of the blue. And stuff like this happens at the end in recruiting where you're looking to
fill. Don't get all down, man.
I'm not getting all down.
Moose is on the loose, Russell. He's heading to Texas.
Well, and who knows whether that'll bear fruit. It gets back to the conversation we were having the end of last hour. Which is, if you're Jeremy Pruitt, okay. I think we've, like, the patient was bleeding out on the table when he got here. He's kind of stabilized it, right? You know,
yeah.
He stitched us up. It's like, okay, we don't suck anymore. But we are not on Alabama, Georgia, or even Florida's level right now. I mean, there's just no denying. We're just not there. How do we take that next step? Because we're recruiting all right now, but... It feels like to take that next step, all right, will not cut it. We need to be great at recruiting. Can we get from wherever we are right now to that great level?
Mm, great.
I don't know.
It's an interesting aspect.
I think you've got an opportunity right now with a staff opening and maybe another one or two yet to emerge. You're going to have an opportunity to upgrade from a staffing standpoint. The stuff you brought up earlier, Trey, about like the infrastructure aspect and the hot sauce aspect, if you will, like that's something that probably ought to be addressed too. That to me, that seems like the easy part of it. The hard part is getting guys who can go into a prospect's home, an elite prospect, and say, "I know you've got an offer to Florida. I know you've got an offer to Auburn, but we." Come here instead. Come here. I know we were 7-5 and those schools were 9-3. Come here instead. That's the hard part. We can get the light show and the smoke screen and the hotel room and all that. Like that That should not – it shouldn't be hard. Might be. It, to me, that seems like the easy fix. The hard part is going into and, you know, all these prospects we're talking about are great examples. Dee Beckwith, how do you get him away from Florida? Jakari Caldwell, how do you get him away from Clemson? Jay Hardy, how do you get him away from Auburn? That's the thing Jeremy Pruitt has to figure out.
And I'd say, too, the game changed once Saban took the Alabama job. That's when everybody else had to start upping the ante a little bit. And it's been like this ever since. Seeing how things – I mean, look what LSU's doing. Finally. Look what Auburn's doing. You don't have a lot to sell at Auburn. I'm just being honest with you. There ain't much in that town besides Skybar. Skybar, that's about it.
I got boosters with deep pockets.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Pat Dye's cabin.
Exactly.
Yeah, that sounds like a book. Like somebody,
sounds Pat like Dye's a scene cabin. Out of a Deliverance.
Or a speakeasy or something. Yeah, come on, I'm back to Pat Dye's cabin. We'll take care of you. Got some good stuff in here. Hour number three of The Drive. Coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. Stevie Hamer going to join us here in just a few minutes. We'll talk Tennessee basketball with him. What does one seven-footer think about another seven-footer? Uroš Plavšić will ask the big fella. Coming up, hour number three of The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio.
Are you tired of chronic back pain? Plantar fascia.